A new investigation is shedding light on how an artificial intelligence tool may be discriminating against parents with disabilities. The US Justice Department is now getting involved. It's looking into how the child welfare system in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, uses AI to predict which children could be at risk of harm. Grants Burke is the global investigative journalist at the Associated Press and one of the reporters who worked on this story, and she joins me now. Hi, Garance.
Hi, Deepa.
So before we get into your latest investigation, you've been covering how AI tools have been adopted by child welfare agencies around the country. Could you give us the overview? What are these AI tools and how are they being used?
Absolutely. So AI tools have really been creeping into so many different aspects of all of our lives. And increasingly, government agencies are using AI to help carry out some of their basic functions. So in particular, child welfare agencies have been using algorithms to help social workers do the difficult task of scrutinizing families, you know, which could ultimately result in getting help for the parents, or it could end up in removing the child from the home.
So tell us why the agencies would want to use this AI or these algorithms. How did they believe it helps them?
Well, the agencies track families using data from all different aspects of our backgrounds. You know, if you were sent to foster care as a baby or did juvenile probation, maybe if you were recipient of Medicaid in the past, all of those are data points that child welfare agencies track. And what they've been doing is, because so many are underfunded and overwhelmed, is they've been using AI to assist social workers in poring over this data and determining which families represent a risk to their children. Now, of course, whether this is a fair procedure is certainly something that's up for debate.
And as with other AI tools, and directly to the point of fairness, you've discovered that the ones designed for child welfare purposes, I guess, have flaws or have proven problematic in the implementation. What are some of the problems you found?
Well, what we found is that particularly in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, which is the area around Pittsburgh, there's a really pioneering AI tool that the county has been using, and it's been measuring families based on some pretty controversial factors like families' race, their disability status, even some factors that you wouldn't immediately imagine, like whether the mother smoked cigarettes before her pregnancy. So all of this data is tracked in determining which kids should be ultimately investigated, which families should be investigated, and which children should be removed from their home. So advocates are saying this is, you know, really a reason for concern. And now the DOJ has started looking into whether this is a tool that could lead to discrimination.
And I definitely want to talk about the DOJ in a moment. And a lot of this is because of you and your team's reporting. But tell us specifically, in this latest article, you focus on parents with disabilities. You profile one family. What were their disabilities, the parents, and what happened to them?
So together with my colleague, Sally Ho, we were trying to understand, well, you know, AI could be good. It could have some positive impacts. It could also have some really harmful impacts. But most importantly, we wanted to understand, what does this mean for families? And so Sally was able to meet with Lauren and Andrew Hackney. They both have developmental disabilities. The mother has ADHD that affects her memory, and her husband has a comprehension disorder and some nerve damage from a stroke that he suffered years ago. And their baby girl was just under a year old when she started refusing to drink her bottles. So they asked their doctor for help, and the doctor said, you know, just try another brand of formula. There wasn't much at the time. It was during the shortage. And so they waited to take her into the hospital until the doctor later said she's become dehydrated. And now at that point, these parents, the Hackneys, believe that the algorithm may have been involved in determining that they were a risk to their own daughter, and their daughter has been in foster care ever since.
I found one particular anecdote in your article about this family just so deeply insightful. They were asked by a caseworker, the father was asked by a caseworker, how many times he feeds the baby a day. And due to his neurodiversity, he was very specific in the answer. He answered that he feeds her two times a day. He didn't elaborate and say that his wife and others who care for the baby feed her at other points during the day. He just answered the question that he feeds her two times a day. This was seen as a sign of neglect, and it led to the baby being removed. Is this the kind of thing that the DOJ investigation will dig into? Because it seems like that shouldn't be a reason to be removing a child.
No, and I mean, I think one of the things we really sought to highlight is that, you know, historically, the child welfare system really has not been capable of understanding people with neurodiversity or parents with disabilities in a modern way. People with disabilities already are overrepresented in the child welfare system, and including data points related to people's disabilities as in an algorithm is pretty problematic, one expert told us, because it can perpetuate historic biases in the system and also really focus on parents' physiological traits instead of, you know, parents' behavior toward their children. And what we found is that the algorithm that's in use in Allegheny specifically has a flag for people who accessed county services for mental health or other behavioral health programs, that was somehow seen as a risk factor. So I think that all of this will be issues that the DOJ will be investigating as they look into the specific data that powers this algorithm in the Pittsburgh area.
So given all these flaws and really the dire consequences it can have, are child welfare agencies reconsidering their use of this AI technology?
Well, one thing we found so interesting is that there really is very little understanding of how these AI tools work in this high-stakes context of our nation's child welfare agencies. For example, even in Los Angeles County, where they've deployed an AI tool, the head of the County Department of Children and Family Services told us, you know, he didn't really exactly understand how the algorithm his agency was using worked. He said he didn't want to say it was beyond magic, but it was just beyond his area of expertise. So I think that part of what we're really seeking to do is to bring some sunlight and transparency to the tools that are out there so that, you know, the public, the families who are impacted, as well as the social workers and officials who are implementing these tools, perhaps with the idea of saving money or saving time, fully understand the stakes of what's happening.
Gaurance Burke is global investigative journalist at the Associated Press. Gaurance, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.